In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Today's Mass is being offered for the repose of the soul of Gilbert Campos and Al Gomez. Before I forget about it, I would really appreciate you letting me know a week from today, that would be next Tuesday, a week from today, what time you would like me to have Mass for you. Mass schedule will change next Tuesday, as I'll be gone for the rest of the week, but on Tuesday, we have the choice of either having Mass at 7 a.m. in the morning or at 8 a.m. in the morning. So it's an easy choice. It's just an hour difference. So I'll be able to offer it at either point there, but either 7 a.m. or 8 a.m. Don't let Fabian's desires sway you. It's obvious which one he desires. Whatever it is that you desire there, you let me know, and that's what it will be for that day. That is the one that Fabian would prefer. Good. We'll let you deliberate even just a little bit longer than just a couple seconds on it. Today, I want to bring your attention to one fact of the gospel. Now, sister, you can answer this after everybody else at least has a first crack on it, because you're such a scripture sleuth yourself. But does anybody know why it is that the Lord is talking to Samuel and saying, "Stop grieving"? Why are you worried about Saul at this time? Stop grieving over Saul. Do you know why that is? Why is it that Samuel is grieving over Saul? Going once, going twice. Sister Anne with the right answer. Because of what? Not because he was blind. So Saul didn't go blind in this. You're thinking maybe of Samson, the judge, who had his eyes gouged out. But why is Samuel grieving over Saul? Okay, maybe I stumped you. It was from yesterday's reading. Because he already proved himself to be a bad king. That's the reason. So you read yesterday's readings, and you'll find out what that is. Just go back and find it. I'll explain it to you real quick here, but it's important to know the whole of the context. Saul right here is, he's going out on campaign. He's been given a particular command of God to utterly destroy all the enemy, including the king, to even destroy their beasts, because of this is how sinful they are. And God's trying to teach a lesson here, to saying that just as we know from the first fall, that the fall of man caused all of creation to go into disorder, right? That the animals weren't attacking other animals, that the ground itself didn't even bring up weeds or thorns or thistles in this way, that it was the sin of man, the sin of Eve, the sin of Adam, because of the result of the devil's temptations being successful upon a human being, that all these evils entered into the world. So God says that it's so in this way, that even the cattle, even the beasts, even the sheep, all of them need to be utterly slaughtered in this way. And Saul didn't do that. Saul got greedy, and he even tried to justify himself in the eyes of other men and lied to Samuel in lying to Samuel the prophet, also lying to God himself. And so he said, "No, I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to kill everybody who's there. I'm going to save the king because I want to parade him around and show that my great strength over him. And I'm going to keep the animals so that I can offer a better sacrifice to God," which he probably wasn't intending to do, but he got caught. So he came up with a good idea there anyway. It wouldn't matter even if he did, because that's exactly what God told him not to do. Remember, God desires obedience, not sacrifice. Knowledge of his ways more than holocausts of fatlings and rams, as it speaks about in the Psalms and in other places of the Old Testament. And so because of that, God, it says in there, rejected Saul over Israel, rejected his kingship, and said, "Now your kingdom will come to an end. You will no longer be king." Today we have the selection of David. Now I want to connect yesterday's reading, which is why I explained it to you, to the gospel today. The gospel is all about what is the meaning of the Sabbath. What is the meaning of the Sabbath rest that God desires? What is the meaning of true worship is what it's getting at. What is the heart of worship? That's important for you and I to come to understand as Catholics. What is worship all about? How do we properly and rightly and the way that we're supposed to worship God, how are we supposed to do that? We need to know this, right? If we're going to hear worship God, well, we just had adoration, right? Let's make sure we do it right. Saul went about things his own way. How are Catholics supposed to adore the Lord? In accordance with the way that God himself teaches us. It says right there, that last line of the gospel is so important. It says, "The Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath." That's a great teaching there. I'm not going to teach on that. The next line is, "That is why the Son of Man is Lord even of the Sabbath." The Son of Man is Lord even of the Sabbath. So we know that Jesus Christ, he is God himself. So he is the one who established the Sabbath. And so he is Lord of the Sabbath even within his own sacred humanity. He knows how to order things rightly. So how do we worship rightly? Fabian, do you remember from the confirmation exam? How do we offer God perfect praise, perfect prayer? What is the most perfect prayer? It's easy. I can see your Mass going in and out, but I can't see any words coming out of that. So I don't know what that means. The answer is the Mass. The answer is the Mass. And why is the Mass the greatest of all prayers? Who prays the Mass? Who prays the Mass? Not the priest. I pointed to myself to throw you off. No, God does. God does. God does the Mass. And that's why. That's the reason why. This is the true and perfect worship. That is, it's God worshiping himself. You and I aren't going to be able to understand exactly what we're supposed to do in worship. We're never going to figure it out. When you and I try to figure out a way of worship, if we try to make our own missal for ourselves, if we try to pull around all the best thoughts that we could come together about how God should be glorified, it would be an abomination before God. But as Catholics, we don't worry about that because we don't figure out how to worship God. The way that we worship at Mass, all this that we do here, this isn't the work of human hands. This is the work of God. The Mass is the work of God. Everything that happens in the Mass is the work of God. God put together the missal. God gave us the form, which is what happened there at the Holy Sacrifice. It is he who came and explained it all after his resurrection appearances and told us exactly what we should say, how we should do it, what it needed to be. And that was passed on through sacred tradition all the way up until our present day. Not the work of human hands, but the work of God himself. That is how we pray. It is then only God, the God-man who is Jesus Christ. He's the one who can truly offer adoration and love to God. He alone is the one who is entirely holy. He alone is the one who glorifies God in his own holiness. And he alone can truly praise God. And so what we do here in the end, the supernatural vocation of every single human person, including all of us in here, yes, I'm speaking of myself as well, the supernatural vocation of all of us, every human person, is the transformation in the person of Christ. Because it is only from Christ, with him, through him, with him, and in him, that we can offer true adoring love and praise to God. It's only in the person of Christ. So we let God enter into us, which is what happens to us and changes everything about us in baptism, that we're able to, in the Christ that he's given us, to really offer him worthy and perfect praise. And it's only then that we can become holy, only to the extent to which we cease to live and Christ lives in us. That's why it says within the scripture, I've been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ Jesus who lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. These are the scriptures. This is what St. Paul teaches us. That is to say that the extent that the divine life is implanted in you and me by the very waters of baptism, by those very life-giving waters, is fully developed within us. Then our transformation in Christ is the essence of sanctity, of being holy. And so that's what we do. We only offer God right and truly and worthy praise when we allow him to be worshipped in us. When we enter into who he is and be transformed into him, then we offer right and worthy praise. So here's the takeaway. When we worship God at Mass, when we enter into adoration, all we have to do is focus and say, Lord Jesus, I don't know what I'm even doing here. I'm confused. I just know that you're here. It's one thing that I know, is that you're here. God, and the second thing that I know is that I'm here. You're here and I'm here. And I have no idea what I'm supposed to do. So could you just do the adoration thing yourself? And I'll be here and I'll watch. I'll wait for you and listen. I'm just here with you. That's it. That's right and worthy praise. Saying, God, you give yourself right and worthy adoration. I just want to be here to observe that right and worthy adoration. And you figure out everything else. And when you and I begin to do that, we enter more and more into the very person of Christ in this mystical sense. And then something begins to change within us. And we begin to take on, as the scriptures say, the mind of Christ. One last scripture verse. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 1 and 2. Important passages there. What it teaches us there is it reminds you and me of this. It asks us, let the same mind of Christ be also in you. It says, do not allow yourselves to be conformed to the thinking, to the pattern of this world, but rather allow yourselves to be transformed by the renewing of your minds, that you may know what is that good and that pleasing and that perfect will of God. And by you and I engaging in the adoration that God is already doing of himself and saying, okay, I'm here to observe it, just do it, God, and help me to enter into it. We deepen our own conversion and our transformation to take on the very mind of Christ. And then true, right, and worthy praise and adoration of God the Father happens in us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen.